Have you ever noticed how wedding vows increasingly describe spouses as best friends? This blurring of boundaries between friendship and romance reveals something fascinating. Our most meaningful relationships don't always fit neat categories. Consider Andrew and Toli, who met in high school and deliberately organized their entire lives around each other, volunteering in Tanzania, sharing apartments through graduate school, co-founding a nonprofit. Andrew calls Toli his platonic life partner, a term that baffled his mother but perfectly captured their bond. They shared the devastating loss of a mutual friend to suicide, a tragedy that cemented their commitment to never let go of each other. Yet they're not romantic partners, and that's precisely the point. We live in a culture obsessed with finding the one, but what if your soulmate isn't someone you're sleeping with? What if the most significant relationship of your life looks nothing like what society expects? This question matters now more than ever as America faces what experts call a friendship recession, a loneliness epidemic where meaningful connections have become dangerously rare, even as research consistently shows that diverse, deep relationships lead to longer, healthier, happier lives. We're taught that romantic relationships should be our top priority. Disney movies, rom-coms, and cultural narratives all point toward finding a partner who becomes your everything. This one-stop shopping approach is actually quite recent. Before the late 18th century, marriage resembled a business arrangement. Today's marriages carry impossible weight. We expect our partners to be lover, best friend, co-parent, financial partner, therapist, and adventure companion all at once. Kami and Tilly's friendship challenges this hierarchy. When Kami told a date that Tilly would always be her number one person, she rejected the assumption that romance must trump all. Their bond, forged during Marine Corps boot camp, survived relocations, relationships, and children. When Kami's daughter was diagnosed with a rare genetic condition requiring intensive care, Tilly offered her home to reduce Kami's hospital commute. As Tilly puts it, "We're the cake, and romantic relationships are just the cherry on top." Research confirms this. People who distribute emotional needs across multiple relationships experience greater happiness and handle marital conflicts with less stress. Your romantic partner doesn't have to be everything. Research on passionate friendships among sexual minority women reveals relationships as emotionally intense as romantic ones, complete with inseparability, cuddling, and constant preoccupation, but without sexual desire. Neuroscience confirms that lust and love operate through different brain pathways. Sexual desire involves androgens and estrogens, while love produces oxytocin and dopamine. These systems serve different evolutionary purposes and don't always activate together. One study found 61% of women and 35% of men experienced love without sexual desire. Stacy and Grace met in college, developing chemistry through late nights in the photography darkroom. Yet their sexual orientations were incompatible. Stacy later came out as asexual and genderqueer. For them, romance involves commitment, vulnerability, and deeply knowing someone, not necessarily sex. They considered living together, raising children, even having a friend wedding. Stacy defines intimacy as the space to feel comfortable in one's body, to dream, to explore thoughts and feelings that come up in life with somebody. Society's compulsory sexuality makes asexual people feel defective, but sex isn't the only path to intimacy, and pretending otherwise limits our capacity for meaningful connection. Nick and Art, two Christian youth pastors, committed to living as family despite social pressures. When Art came out as gay, he panicked and prepared to leave, certain Nick would reject him. Instead, Nick insisted they'd figure it out together. Art chose celibacy according to his conservative beliefs, but feared never having a default person to come home to. After a particularly lonely day, Art called Nick. "I can't do this for another 25 years." Nick's response was transformative. "I want to be part of the reason that you want to live past 50. He insisted Art's loneliness was our problem, not just Art's. 6 months later, Nick proposed they live together permanently. Their friendship challenged restrictive masculinity norms. Art noted that in Brazil, Korea, Arab countries, India, and parts of Africa, men commonly engage in non-sexual physical affection, even in America until the early 20th century. Once while hiking, Nick confessed he wondered if he might be gay because he enjoyed Art's hugs. Art explained, "That's just intimacy. That's just loving someone." With 15% of men now reporting no close friendships, a five-fold increase since 1990, Nick's bond with Art provides the diverse social support that protects against loneliness, depression, and poor health outcomes. The nuclear family isn't the only model for raising children. When Natasha decided to have a child as a single woman, her friend Linda offered to help with childcare. Their bond deepened when Natasha's son Elon was diagnosed with severe disabilities requiring constant care. Linda stepped in as co-parent, displaying remarkable abilities to soothe Elon during difficult episodes. The courts eventually declared Linda a parent, the first recognition of platonic co-parents in Canadian history. Their family expanded further when Linda connected with Justine, forming a romantic relationship. As West Virginia Supreme Court noted, "Oh, that all of the children whose fates we must decide would be so fortunate as to be too loved." A 2017 survey revealed that 58% of unmarried mothers were open to co-parenting with someone other than a romantic partner. These families demonstrate what's possible when we expand our definition of family beyond traditional boundaries. When romantic relationships end, we have rituals in support. When friendships fade, we face unnamed grief that society ignores. This ambiguous loss, when someone remains but the relationship has changed, can be devastating. One friendship shifted from daily voice memos to polite check-ins, from exceptionally close to merely best friends. Psychologist Pauline Boss calls this frozen grief. Joy's story reveals this clearly. After years caring for her dying best friend Hannah, picking up children, organizing fundraising, protecting her from intrusive colleagues, Joy discovered her grief was disenfranchised. She returned to work 3 days later, ineligible for bereavement leave. People expected quick recovery, not understanding Hannah was her human, someone who loved her unconditionally. We need better language, rituals, and social understanding that friendship grief deserves time, space, and support. Deep friendships offer freedom from predetermined scripts. Without the relationship escalator of dating and marriage, friends create their own rules, fostering creativity and resilience. Living together accelerates intimacy through what researchers call the magic ingredients: time, togetherness, and touch. When friends formed Kibbutz DC and moved in together, sketches of each other's lives became detailed portraits. New rituals emerged, like Shabbat celebrations, as admiration grew through witnessing daily intimacies. One friend critiqued not monogamy, but defaultomy, adherence to relationship defaults without questioning them. Andrew's mother, Lisa, realized her life followed society's predetermined ladder rather than her chosen path. Seeing her son's unconventional friendship made her wonder what might have been more fun, rewarding, had she been brave enough to try alternatives. These friendships sharpen our vision, revealing the societal trellis directing our growth, and giving others permission to detach from the trellis and grow toward the light. The loneliness epidemic isn't about lacking romantic partners. It's about impoverished relationship ecosystems. These friendships aren't consolation prizes, but profound choices expanding human connection. The revolution isn't finding the one. It's building a life rich with many ones, each irreplaceable in their own right.